Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tyner. It's Harry sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. Every Friday, we talk television with Alexander Zalbin. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com. Alexander, a good week for you so far?
Yeah, and I love the toxic Britney Spears intro, so thank you very much.
Well, there's a kinship. I can't explain it, but when I think of you, I think of Britney Spears, so I just needed to express that in song.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
This is the final season for Veep. Veep has been one of the most consistently funny shows on HBO. Why are they calling it quits? Can it go on a little bit longer?
No, I think they're done at this point. The final season kicks off Sunday, March 31st at 10:30 on HBO. There are, I believe, 6 episodes of the series, and they've said what they need to say at this point. You know, they're in season 7. Politics is so ridiculous that it doesn't even seem like parody anymore. But I can tell you safely from seeing the first 3 episodes of the season, they're definitely going out at the top of their game. It's as funny as it's ever been. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is fantastic. The show's great.
Wouldn't you agree that as far as ensemble casts go on television, they've picked one of the best? The cast of Veep, there's not a weak link among them. They're all just perfect.
Oh, they're so good, and they've built each of the characters' games so effectively. One of our writers, Josh Sorokatch, he was just talking to me the other day about Gary Cole on the show.
Yeah.
He kind of started in the background, but has built into this amazing character who just comes in and throws almost the most random things at every point. The guy who I'm blanking on the name of, who plays Richard Spelt, who's just the most earnest, honest person on the show, is so funny. Everybody is great.
Yeah.
You know, talking about ensemble shows, I'm gonna audible my question. I was gonna ask for this one. There's a show I really like that's gotten better and better, and I'm so glad I stuck with it. Superstore, and I know Justin Spitzer was in the group that brought us The Office, and like The Office, he is using a large ensemble cast, and sometimes characters you like will have like one line in a given episode. But I feel like that show is just starting to find its groove. What are your thoughts on the NBC sitcom?
Yeah, it's been kind of great to watch it hit that groove, to your point, where it premiered back in, I guess, 2015 with a couple of episodes. It didn't really make much of an impact, sort of fell by the wayside. And I think that gave them enough room to really play with everybody, figure out the characters, figure out how they work. And yeah, it's really become one of the best sitcoms about the workplace since The Office on TV.
And it has Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall. You can't go wrong with him.
Right, right, right. And he can rip off himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. All right. I have to tell you, now, this is a story I told the other day, Alex, but I want your take on it. I'm so excited that The Twilight Zone is coming back. I cannot wait. I've heard nothing but good things. The downside is it's on CBS All Access, and I have no idea how to get that. So I looked it up online on how to get it, and it was explaining the procedure by which you could get CBS All Access, and they said you could watch the shows on your watch or your computer, and then it said, or even your television, as though that was a bonus thought that nobody ever had before. So that's a TV series that, as an afterthought, says, or watch the TV show on a TV and see what it's like. Why is it so hard for me to get CBS All Access? Is it like that for everybody?
You know, I got to tell you, they're not making it easy for people to watch The Twilight Zone, to be perfectly frank. I'm a big fan of CBS All Access. They have Good Fight on there, which is fantastic. They have Star Trek Discovery, which is absolutely one of my favorite shows. They also have the full library of CBS shows and many, many more. So if you're a fan of any of their older shows or newer shows, it's absolutely a must-have. But to your point, it's only been adopted on a couple of devices now. It's just steadily growing. I have an Apple TV at home, and you can get an app on there, or you can watch it at cbs.com/allaccess, I believe is the address.
Yeah.
But it is a separate subscription. There's different tiers for whether you want ads or you want no ads. And with The Twilight Zone, it's a little tricky because they're premiering 2 episodes on April 1st, and then it's going to air every Thursday, but not the next Thursday after that. The 3rd episode is going to air on April 11th. So, again, making it a little tricky, but having checked out the first couple of episodes of The Twilight Zone, I've seen the first 4 at this point, it's absolutely worth it.
Jordan Peele is both the host and the executive producer. Is that how that works?
Yeah, exactly. He's the main thrust, the main driving force behind it, and you can definitely see both through the casting, which has there's a phenomenal cast. The first episode has Kumail Nanjiani. Second episode has Adam Scott in it. Third episode, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the third episode right now. Oh, Saddle Athens in the third episode, and there's an episode down the road with Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead. That's superb. And it's a very diverse cast. There's definitely issues of race and gender and society that were always playing in the background of Twilight Zone that are pushed very heavily in here, and you certainly see in Jordan Peele's work, like Get Out and Us. But even if you're just watching it for some spooky stories, it works on that level as well.
I always tell young kids that want to get into radio, the key is listening. Listen to what your guest says. So you just mentioned Walking Dead. My old girlfriend's niece was one of the stars of Walking Dead, and now Lauren Cohan is in Whiskey Cavalier. Have you seen that new offering from ABC?
I have. I also love the path, the journey that you just took me on with that. Lauren Cohan, Whiskey Cavalier, super fun, heart-to-heart-esque show with her and Scott Foley from Scandal, among other things. You know, it's powered completely by their chemistry, and they're very, very charismatic people. It's meant to be the sort of thing that you kind of tune into and then tune out of, and that's it. It's not taxing your brain too much, but as a spy caper show, it's a lot of fun.
All right, when we return, since Walking Dead has been mentioned, last week's episode was something of a shocker. I've seen it twice, and I was shocked as much the second time as I was the first time. It really took a lot of people by surprise. We'll be very, very delicate in our discussion of it if you haven't seen it yet.
Maybe you'll be.
You will not be. I will do my best to remain a little bit careful over what we saw. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. Alexander Zalbin is our guest from Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Harry Tyner with Harry's In for Wendy, who will return on Monday. We're talking to Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com and frequent contributor to this show. Alex, I already mentioned this, but I will mention it again. If you have not seen, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead and have not seen last Sunday's episode, just dim the switch just a little bit for a second as we discuss this. Don't go into great detail, but you have to admit one of the most memorable moments in the history of the show took place on Sunday, right?
Absolutely. This was something that, as a comic book reader, I knew was coming. I didn't know exactly how they'd do it. But the thing that shocked me the most was that I was not expecting it to happen the last episode. I thought maybe they were saving it for the finale. That would be the moment they'd end on. And when I realized what was happening, knowing what was going to happen made it even the more, all the more horrifying. It was extremely well done. I would argue, as opposed to when Glenn and Abraham died when they were killed by Negan back in, I believe that was season 7, at the season 7 premiere, which was very controversial and kind of drawn out, and some people liked it, some people hated it. This was gut-wrenching in exactly the right way, I felt.
Now, here, as I've analyzed this, because like I said, I've watched the episode twice now to kind of digest what took place. It was interesting because unlike the other event that you mentioned with the Negan character, a lot of this was left to your imagination. You didn't see exactly what took place. You saw the aftermath. So do you think that they learned from the Negan incident and said we can go a little bit more on the suspense and the subtlety of it all? Or was this just a different way to play their hand?
No, I actually think it was the former. This season has a new showrunner, Angela Kang. She has been with the show for a very long time, but she stepped up as showrunner this season. And I think she's done a phenomenal job. It almost, to me, it doesn't feel like a totally new show, but it definitely feels like a rejuvenated show this season. And they have learned from past mistakes. They are trying new storytelling modes. For a very long time, we were stuck in that war with Negan, with people saying, what has become of the world? You know, and just lamenting that.
Yeah.
But they moved past that. They decided, what can we do with the world now that it has fallen, now that we've gotten through the zombie apocalypse? What do we do next? And this obviously is a huge wrinkle in it, what happens at the end of the last episode. But at the same time, I think it was very, very well done and well executed.
And so emotional. So emotional. Harry?
I can get absolutely. I can get emotional over a KFC commercial. Alexander, I've, you know, very excited. Bill mentioned it's the last episode of Veep. It's the first episode of season two of Barry. And Bill Hader and Henry Winkler are so great in this series. I really like Jim Carrey in Kidding. He started in Living Color, but then he became a big movie star. This trend of having very funny people do these, not just serious shows, but very dark character. Do you think this is something that like is very appealing to other comedic actors and that we'll see more of this?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's actually a trend that started with what people like to call sad coms on FX in particular. You have shows like Better Things and others that are very much a mix. It's hard almost to call them comedies at times, other than the fact that they're about a half an hour long. And things like what you mentioned, like Kidding, like Barry, that tend to go very dark. Comedy, as you guys probably know very well, doesn't get respect around awards time. You could do the absolute best, most phenomenal job of comedy, and awards people think, oh, well, we're laughing, so it's easy, so it's not important. But then you get to do a show like this, you get to play different layers, you get to play different levels, so you do get into that awards conversation, you do get a little bit more of that respect, but you still get to do those comedic moments that you love at the same time.
I'll tell you who's a master at it, and Harry, without a doubt, you mentioned Jim Carrey and Bill Hader, and they're both so good, but Louis Anderson in Baskets is just
fantastic.
Incredible.
Spectacular. I know he's coming to town soon.
Yeah. Love
great,
him.
Great comedian. I love Louis, too. Yeah, he's awesome as the mom.
No question. Last night on NBC, they premiered a show called Abby's. This has Neil Flynn, Chicago native, Waukegan native Neil Flynn from the middle, and another pretty interesting cast. What did you think of the premiere episode of Abby's?
I think it's pretty enjoyable. You know, it's from Mike Schur, who created Parks and Recreation and The Good Place and others. He has been a huge fan of Cheers for years and always kind of wanted to make his own Cheers. And that's basically what this is. It's headlined by Natalie Morales, who you probably know the face of, even if you don't necessarily know her name. But she's very funny as Abby, who runs a bar in somebody's backyard. It's very old school comedy. It's very straightforward. It's pretty easy to watch. But one of the things that makes it kind of neat and unique and special is they actually film it outside. The entire thing isn't on a studio stage. They film it literally outside. And one of our writers, Brett White, talked to the creators of the show. You can check this out on Decider to find out how they actually did that. Because as you can imagine, there's planes flying overhead. They're shooting it on the Universal lot, so you could hear the tram operator in the background. So it creates its challenges, but I think if you're looking for an easy to watch comedy with an engaging cast, you can certainly do worse than Abby's.
Alexander, at the very beginning of the show, I was watching it last night, at the very beginning, they say essentially what you just said. They say Abby's is filmed in front of a live outside studio audience, and they just do a quick shot of the stage, and you can see the crowd watching it on bleachers. And I thought, I don't think this has ever been done on TV before. Good for them.
Yeah, it's great, and it's such an alarming is the wrong word, but I think everybody that I talked to responded to that when they say that, because you're used to the filmed in front of a live studio audience, but that extra word outside makes you go, wait, what?
Wait, did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Alexander, I'd be curious. I could spend the next 10 hours talking about Cheers, by the way, but I'd be curious to get your response to this. The actresses that were caught up in the college cheating scandal, is Felicity Huffman, is her career going to be affected by what she did trying to get her kid into USC as an athlete and paying someone to take her SAT?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we haven't heard as much about Felicity Huffman as we did about Lori Loughlin. I still feel like I'm not pronouncing her name correctly.
I've been told to say Loughlin, but I've always said Loughlin too, so I don't know.
All right. We'll just say Lori.
All right, Lori.
Yeah, both of them are not going to be working for a good long while. I think the news has certainly moved on to other things, but there's no way this at least isn't going to affect their careers for another year or so. I mean, the way Hollywood works, everybody will have forgotten by then and will have their comeback tour, but for right now, they're done.
And William H. Macy,
Shameless,
Felicity's husband, is he off scot-free?
That is a very confusing thing. We still don't know exactly what happened behind the scenes with him, because he was definitely involved and it should have affected him, but he was never specifically named. So I would say it's a little up in the air exactly what happens to him, other than he's going to be a little busy with what is going on with his wife and daughter, regardless of anything else.
What about Kevin Hart? I just don't like his work, so I'm hoping he's affected in some way. Maybe they'll stop offering him scripts.
He just had a Netflix special happening, so he's doing just fine.
All right. Speaking of Cheers, Woody Harrelson is in a show on Netflix. It's a movie, right? But it's premiering. It's premiering both on Netflix and in theaters simultaneously, huh?
Yeah, Netflix is trying this new thing recently, and I think this is mostly for awards consideration, where they do a limited run in theaters, either before, usually before they put it on the service. But this movie, The Highwaymen, is on Netflix today. It stars Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, and it's basically the flip side of Bonnie and Clyde, where Bonnie and Clyde and all of the movies about him have always very glamorized what went down with them. This focuses on the lawmen who track them down, and this is a mild spoiler, but you don't even see Bonnie and Clyde's faces until the very end of the movie. Our reviewer, Adam Menta, who watched the movie and has been doing some great writing about it, actually really liked it a lot and thought it was very well done. It's very old school in its view of lawmen, as you might expect. But Costner is great. Harrelson is great. So definitely worth a couple of hours on Netflix today.
It's so funny when you see Woody Harrelson, like in that first season when he came to Cheers after Coach died and they brought in the character of Woody Boyd, you would never in a million years say one day he'll be a highly sought after, respected, serious actor, but he's pulled that off nicely.
He did a fantastic job. You know, I haven't looked back on this, but I would say it's probably Natural Born Killers that did that.
Yes.
You know, Oliver Stone casting him that.
And yes.
Completely turning his career around. It's amazing.
I think my favorite Woody Boyd movie, Woody Harrelson movie is Zombieland.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just so fantastic. And that's why Cheers is great, is because Shelley Long left, they got better with Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Coach died, they got better with Woody Harrelson.
Yep. Yeah, but you could almost say that about Tom Hanks when you see him early on in Bosom Buddings. You never go, well, that'll be a guy who wins two Academy Awards in a row.
Right.
You could say that about Chris Pratt, too. One day he'll be a big action-adventure star. Probably not, except he was.
Yeah. By the way, in the original movie, Bonnie and Clyde, Denver Pyle was the guy who came after them.
Yeah. We have time for one more, and that's the show Hannah over on Amazon. What can you tell us about this, Alex?
Sure. This is an adaptation of the movie of the same name, though none of the actors are in it. And even if you've seen the movie, it kind of takes the germ of the plot and goes off from there. There's 8 episodes on Prime Video today, and it's about a young girl who is basically a killing machine. She doesn't remember a lot of her life, and she goes on the run trying to figure out who she is, who made her into this super spy killer. Our reviewer Megan O'Keefe, who saw it, said it's very, very good. So if you're looking for an action series with a young girl who kicks a lot of butt, this is one to check out.
That's the one. You just described Harry's life story almost beat for beat, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Almost exactly.
You should see my closet.
Alex, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate it, and I hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much,
guys. Alexander Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com.
I love Alexander Zelbin. He is so great. Kevin Costner, by the way, I really am impressed by him taking some of the small roles he's taken lately, like in Molly's Game.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, they only want to be the star. He plays Molly's dad in Molly's Game, and he's fantastic in it. He's in the movie with the three women worked for NASA.
Uh-huh.
Come on, won the Oscar. The woman from Empire, the lead from Empire, was in the movie.
Something Numbers? Is it called Hidden Figures?
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures.
Thank you.
I knew I'd get it eventually.
Thank you. So,
do I win something? I hope I won something.
Yes,
I had
Bill.
To really push.
Bill, you've won. You've won the Serta Perfect Sleeper.
Oh, thank you, Harry.